Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Don't sit down, because we're going to keep going. If you're a guest with us today, welcome to homecoming for Easter, and we're just glad that you are here. A huge tradition in our family of faith right here is to decorate the cross, to bring it from death back to life the way Jesus always intended it to be. Good Friday, we had the crown of thorns over here and that participation, but today we take the crown and set it aside at the feet of Jesus and we bring this cross to life. So you just come on up. There's flowers and buckets in this aisle and down here. Just grab those and come on up, stick those onto the cross and decorate them. Use every flower we have. Let's just celebrate the resurrection today. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I could really, and I don't want to hear any amens and head to the door, but I could just go home right now. I don't know about all y'all. Keep your seats. It's only 5 after 11. You watch how this goes. So just as we are here, you may be a guest with us, and I really do hope, I know it's even hard for me to believe, but it is true that there are some people that don't know the story of Jesus, don't know the story of his death and his resurrection, don't know the story of his glory. And so I just want you to hear it with fresh ears this morning, see it with fresh eyes. You know, you would think, and I say it every year, but you would think that at Christmas and Easter, it'd be the easiest discussion to have, right? It'd be the easiest teaching. But we all have our preconceived ideas. And if you've been in church, you've heard it. And probably if you haven't been in church, you've heard it. And so, but I want you to hear it differently today. Debbie's going to come up and she's going to read from Luke chapter 24 about the resurrection and about how this took place and about the witnesses of the resurrection. And then I'm going to pick it up where she leaves off this morning. Now this one's probably good.
I was walking very carefully.
There you go.
On the confetti.
Yeah, it is a little slick. I'm a little shocked.
Good morning. This is from Luke chapter 24, a little shorter here, verse 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. So Jesus did not go back to where we would think a normal place would be for him to go. Okay, so Jerusalem was where all this took place. Jerusalem is what they would call the holy city, right? That's where everybody came for the pilgrimage, for the feasts, and for everything that took place. That's why the city was so full when Jesus came to town that week. That's why the city was so full when the Passover happened. All these different things that we read about in the Bible. It was so full because it's not sacrilegious. Don't hurt me. This is Super Bowl week, right, for the faith of God. This is it. Wherever the Super Bowl is in the United States, this is the place for what we would now call Christianity, right? For faith in God. So all these millions of people were there, but Jesus, when he came back to life, He did not go back to the holy city, right? And he didn't go back to Matthew. He didn't go back to Mark or Luke or John or any of the disciples in that very moment, right? I would think, I mean, if it would have been me, right, and people would have been making fun of me, and if people would have said, you're not who you say you are, and you'd have gone up before the governor of the area, and he handed you over to be crucified, the religious authorities made fun of you and said, ha ha, you're not who you say you are, we're going to kill you, all those things. That's who I would have gone back to first, because that is my very vindictive personality. Anybody else in the room have my personality? Right? I'd have been like, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, see, I'm alive. Now guess what? You know, and we would have gone through that. That's my personality. But, I mean, even in our own family, we kind of have this, it's really not a joke, it's not a great quality or trait of mine, but if you throw a water balloon at me, I am going to come back to you with a fire hydrant, and I'm going to just obliterate you. Right? My overreaction to your action is always way more. You throw a firecracker, I'm going to get Roman candles out, and I'm coming after you. That's just me. And that's what I would think Jesus would do. That's what I would have advised him to do. But no, he doesn't do that. What he does, we hear from John's testimony from the resurrection, that he first appeared, right, after they looked into the tomb, they first appeared to Mary. Right, Mary, Peter looks in there, you just heard, and they look, and he's not there, and he goes back to the house, right? He's like, oh, what has happened? Mary looks in, and she's also distraught. She's like, what is going on here? What have they done with our Jesus? What have they done with my Lord? And Jesus appears to her and reveals himself to her right then and there, the very first one. And in that day and time, let me just tell you, for Mary as a woman to be, for her to be the first encounter, that would just be weird to everybody. It's not weird to us, it's not weird to me, but in culture that would have been very strange. And even when she goes back and she starts telling all of the men and all of her friends and all of her family, everybody that's gathered together, they find it hard to believe. They don't understand. She ran back. And she told the disciples, and really, they had known about the resurrection. They had been told. Even when Jesus appeared to Mary and revealed himself to her, it said she remembered. You know what I love about that? It means that Jesus didn't tell a select few. Anybody that would listen, anybody that was around him, he would tell about what was going to happen. He told the kids. He told the mamas. He told the papas. Oh, there's a band. He told friends and family and strangers. He told all of these people, and yet they kind of missed it. But soon as she saw him, she remembered. Sometimes I want to say it takes a miracle in our life after we have walked away from Jesus for us to remember who he is, for us to remember how he affected our lives. See, it's these women play a crucial role in God's plan. And I want to say this to all of us. You all play a crucial role, even today, in God's plan for how he wants to reveal things, how he wants to interact. And so in the meantime, while Mary's running back to the house to tell everybody, Jesus literally goes on a walk. Not exactly what I think God would do after the resurrection, but he does. He goes on a walk, and he's walking down this road to a city called Emmaus. And some of you may have heard that. We have a great Christian faith community called the Emmaus Community, where we do retreats and where there's renewal. That's where this comes from. And these two disciples, okay, they weren't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They weren't the big 12, okay, but they were in the group of disciples that had been around Jesus and heard some of his teaching. They're walking away. The crucifixion has happened. It's the third day. Nothing has happened yet, in their opinion. I'm not going to say that they're done, but why are they leaving? Why are they walking away? Why now at this very moment? Because I would have been hanging around, right? I would have been outside whatever the place was where I thought Jesus was going to come back, and I would have been waiting, right? Anybody, can you just see the meme right now with somebody eating popcorn? Just waiting. But yet, they walked off. And as they walked, they were talking, and Jesus, who doesn't reveal himself yet, walks up beside them. And it's great. I mean, Jesus knows what's going on, right? I mean, he's God. He knows what the discussion is. He knows everything that's happening. And he walks up beside them, and they're walking. And I don't know what that might have looked like, but I grew up on a farm and dirt roads, and they didn't have paved city streets, you know, in the country of Jerusalem and all around the city. They didn't have that. They had dusty roads, and they're walking, and Jesus walks up beside them, and he goes, "Hey, fellas, what y'all talking about?" And they're like, "Do you not know?" I love this. He's like, "Do you not know?" He said, "We were hoping." Actually, they kind of make fun of him. I mean, they're like, "Have you been living under a rock?" He's like, "Oh, there was a good one. Somebody really liked that." "No, I've been living behind a rock. How do you not know all of these things going on in our lives? Where have you been?" And he's like, "Well, tell me about it." He goes, "Oh," and they start telling him all about this thing and everybody that on the soldiers and Jesus and the crucifixion and all the prophecies and all the stuff. And Jesus literally says to him, he says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." I just think I'm a real visual person. And can't you just see Jesus? Anybody watch Seinfeld besides me in the day? Can y'all just see George Costanza sitting at the cafe table doing this? Oh, just rubbing his face. And Jesus is talking to these guys who have heard, who knew Jesus was coming back. See, it's kind of like us. We know Jesus. Most of us really have an intimate relationship with the Father and with Jesus, and we know him, and we've grown up with him, or we've been recently introduced to him, and we're excited, and our kids, I just love what was said over here. This is really cool. And yet they're walking away, and then when Jesus shows up and starts talking to them, they're like, "Yeah, we thought this was going to be it, but it's just not turning out the way I thought it was going to." Gosh, and Jesus has got to be going, "Ugh. I just can't imagine. I just can't even tell you how many times God has looked at me and gone, oh, myself, myself, myself." Because I do that. This is not how I wanted this to happen. Lord, this is not how I thought this was going to turn out. Let me just tell you, as a pastor, I needed Easter Sunday morning, and I needed these kids, and I needed you, and I needed to hear, "This is so cool," and I needed to, I bet Dallas is with me, we would have not ever anticipated how loud this stuff is on the floor, right? But those kids milling around, and the laughter, and the chitter-chatter, and the waving, and the, "Pastor Matt!" and all that, and waving, I mean, oh my gosh, thank you, God, that I got a small picture of heaven. Let the little children come unto me, amen? I don't care how loud they are. I mean, when Ashley says, "If y'all need to take your kids out," I mean, if they're throwing a wall-eyed fit, you can take your husband out, that's fine. But for the rest of them, just let them. It's not a big deal, right? I mean, just the joy and excitement, and Jesus is like, "Okay, guys," and he starts telling them all about the prophecy, and he starts really, I mean, he's talking about Moses. I mean, he goes all the way back. He's reminding them, because here's what it is. It's obvious to me that they were interested in who Jesus is, but they were not interested in recognizing who he is. That's totally different. Because to recognize who he is in their life means that they have to give up, right? They have to give themselves to Jesus and stop worrying about everything that they're worrying about, all their preconceived ideas, how this was supposed to happen or this was going to happen. And as they get to the house, I mean, they get to town, they're really liking this guy. I mean, he really knows a lot. And as they get to town, they said, "Hey, come eat with us." Because Jesus was going to go a different way. And they said, "Come eat with us." Boy, how lucky were they, right? Maybe y'all invite somebody from church to dinner. You never know what's going to happen. Because Jesus shows up, and as they're there, as they're sitting at the table, they still don't get it. Jesus breaks the bread. Now, this is not communion, okay? It sounds like communion, but, you know, in their day, they had loaves of bread, right? Unleavened bread, and it was round, and this is the way it was, or it was square, but it was unleavened, and they broke it. That was part of the custom, not the custom of a church, but the custom of society, the custom of culture. And they would take that bread, and they would break it, and they would pass it around to each other, and they would give it to each other, and they would share. And as soon as he broke that bread, just like Mary, they remembered and they recognized him. What is this thing about remembering? They remembered and they recognized him. Here's what I really love about this idea is because our journey with Jesus always begins at the cross. It always begins then at the empty tomb, right? In his resurrection. But where it goes and how it plays out is really up to you. And it's really up to me. Are we going to walk with him and invite him? Are we going to walk with him and ask him to lead us? Are we going to walk with him and ask him to reveal himself to us? Are we just going to do it our own way over and over and over again? When he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. And they went, oh my gosh. And right as they see Jesus, right? Jesus is gone. Jesus is gone, and they're wondering where he is. And they really say, they're like, oh my gosh, were our hearts not burning? Were our hearts not aware of who he is and who this person was? And man, and they got up. They didn't waste any time. They didn't finish the meal that we know of. It didn't say that they did. They got up and they hoofed it back to the disciples, the ones that were held up in an upper room, that were locked away. See, some of them were walking away from Jesus, while others of them were scared about what was going on in their life, about their faith, because to them also, it wasn't quite working out the way they wanted. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to admit it out loud. Are you in the same club I am that says, my faith has not worked out quite the way I thought it was going to? Life has not worked out quite the way I thought it was going to, but for some reason, when I remember, when I come back to him, when I remember him, it's just like this moment right here with this cross this morning. I get re-energized. I get revived. I get that was my heart not always burning. Thank you, Lord, for being with me, and thank you for reminding me. He didn't even appear to the first original disciples. He appeared to two doubters, right? Two people that were walking away. But then as I think of that, I'm like, thank you, God, because that means you will come to me. That means you don't get mad at me when I have questions. You don't get mad at me when I'm not always who you've called me to be. A great friend this morning said that when he woke up this morning, he was thinking about how all this happened. Talking about the resurrection and thinking about Scripture. You know how I woke up this morning? In a panic that I only had so much time to get everything done this morning. Again, this is Super Bowl Sunday, right? This is a big deal for the church. There's a lot to do. I didn't think about how all this happened. And as soon as he said that this morning, I was so convicted. And I just had to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I get so caught up in the logistics. I get so caught up in the stuff that sometimes I forget why I'm doing this. I need that reminder. And if I need it, I mean, surely somebody else needs it, right? Not that I'm holier, not that I'm any greater, not that I'm any better. Just because I get to be the one on the stage doesn't mean anything other than the fact that I just have a different calling than you do. But we're all the same. We should all wake up every day going, thank you, God, for how this happened. Thank you, God, for what you're doing for me. Because what this means to me is the risen Lord will come to you. We don't have to go find him. These guys were literally, I mean, if you just think about it, they have their back to the tomb. They have their back to the holy city of Jerusalem. They have their back to everything that they had heard, and they're walking away. And then here comes Jesus. Oh, that's the story of Easter. That's the story of the resurrection. One of the greatest revelations of Jesus Christ, when I see him in your families and your friends and all the things that are going on in your lives, you know what? They don't usually happen here. They happen out there. They happen while we're not in worship. They happen when we're not together as the body of Christ. They happen when we're together in little groups. They happen together as your families. They happen together while you're at work. They happen together when we're not necessarily at the tomb, empty tomb, waiting for him to come. No, they happen in other places. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to be remembering who we are. That's why we need to remember homecoming, so we get to come together and remember and remember and remember. The fact that Jesus had a meal, I love this. How many of y'all like to eat? Yeah, y'all are like, yeah, hurry up. We got ham in the oven right now. Yeah, I mean, we love to eat. And Jesus says, every time you do this, remember. Remember. So when you have a meal today, I really do. I mean, I hope you remember the cross. I hope you remember the flowers. I hope you remember the fun of the confetti, right? I'm so glad we have a defibrillator out in the hallway for some of y'all. Yeah, some of y'all went, gosh, I know, it's so scary, right? But that's what we need to remember. The resurrection, day after day after day. And let me tell you, here's what the great thing about the meal thing is. Jesus didn't just do this for the first generation of Christians, right? Because if it's every time we have a meal together, if it's every time we remember, it's for the third generation of Christians, the 30th, the 300th, the 3,000th. Right? It's for every generation until he comes back. It just happens over and over and over again. I know it sounds so silly for me to think about angels in heaven surrounding God or surrounding Jesus at the throne and just saying, tell us again. Because you know, that's an exciting day in heaven, right? When they're looking down at the tomb, man, and they're just all just getting ready and they're like, oh man, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. This is going to be great. Let's do it now. And God, no, nope, just wait. Ashley said some of the kids were like, okay, when can we do the flowers? Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. And then bam. And the angels keep saying, tell us again. Tell us again. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. How many of y'all are like me and it takes you about 13 seconds to forget the last miracle that God did in your life? And then you go on. And then you get another one and you go on. A prayer is answered and then you forget about that one and you go on. And then something else and then you just go on. See, that's what this was. But they didn't. They got up and went and told somebody. That's what we need to do. I hope you go back to somebody this week when you get back to work and they're like, hey, how's your Easter? Man, we went to church and it was church. Right? Big C, big H, keep repeating them. We went to church. Yeah. Confetti and a cross. I hope if you don't have those pictures, they'll be on Facebook. Share those with the world. Because that's what I want people to know. It's not some stodgy old faith in God. No, it's a new faith that's exciting. And it's a new faith that is growing. But they're still scared. Because the other ones, they're locked away in a room. And I think, I'm gonna go through this quickly, but I think some of us, we've been in church all of our lives and we've locked ourselves up in an old faith and an old way of doing everything. I am guilty. There are some things that are in my routine and it's hard for me to get out of them. It's really hard. And sometimes I gripe at people because we're not going to just keep doing it the old way. And then somebody comes up with a new idea and I'm like, we are not doing that. That is so stupid. Oh, is it really? You know, I mean, they get caught up. See, fear makes us react in strange ways. Fear makes us fortify ourselves in a castle mentality. Fear makes us run. They weren't locked up in a room. Somebody didn't put them in a room and lock the door. No, they put themselves in a room and they locked the door. And praise God that Jesus shows up in the midst of him. Just how he disappeared from those two on the road and they had a meal together, he appeared right in the midst of them as they were hearing these stories. Listen to me. You tell your story, Jesus will show up every time. Oh, there's a little bitty sissy amen out there. Let me just say it again. You tell your story, I promise you tell your story about Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God himself will show up in the midst of that conversation. Now who's going to go do it? Because that's it. He didn't tell them these things to sit around and keep munching on the meal. He told them these things so they would go and tell. He didn't show up in the middle of that room and tell them, okay, y'all just stay locked away until you die in here. Just stay in your routine, stay in your chair, stay in your spot. You just stay here. No, he told them over and over again, go, 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 and go. Walk away from God, he's going to show up if you just start looking for him. In the middle of locking yourself up, as long as you'll start telling your story, he'll show up for you. That's what grace does. That's what peace does, because he shows up, right? And I know, I tell it every year, and I don't want to do it again this year too much, but you know they were scared to death. I mean, Jesus shows up in the middle of them, and they're all reminiscing and trying to figure out what's going on. And I know one of them was like, no, he did not. No, there is no way. I mean, we are the chosen right here. We are the good guys. We're the ones that were with Jesus. He chose us first. We're the original. He didn't show up to y'all, and I can't believe that y'all are talking about that. And Jesus says, hey, fellas, peace. Ah! No, I wasn't doubting you, Jesus. Not at all, brother. I was saying, he's here, man. It's all about you, and we're not doubting a bit, and we're going to tell the story. And Jesus is like, peace. Don't you want to say that to your kids? Don't you wish that worked? Peace. These are not the droids you're looking for. Because that's what Jesus does to them, and they're like, oh my gosh. And yet he says it's going to be okay. That's the story of the resurrection. Even Thomas, right? We got to mention Thomas. Everybody has doubts. I have doubts. And I really don't like, and this is not a preacher thing. I mean, I've never liked it. It took me a while to really figure this out in my head and to work it out. I don't like that we call him Doubting Thomas. I think we need to start calling him Honest Thomas. Truthful Thomas. How do you feel about Jesus? He's alive and well. Not until he shows up in my life, he's not. Not until I can put my fingers in his hands and in his feet. Not till I can see those scars, right? Not till I can do all that. And bam, Jesus shows up again, right? Your doubts are fine. Why does he care about your doubts and not care about your doubts? Because he's bigger than your doubts and he can prove us wrong every time. Every time. I want him to. Let me tell you a quick story about the resurrection. It's a hard story for me, and it just happened this weekend. I said one of our own has gone to be in heaven. It's a great friend of ours, and I'm probably going to tell this story too many times, and my own friends are going to get tired of it. But Wanda's 91 years old, and Wanda has had a great life, and Bobby and Wanda have been married for 68 years, high school sweethearts and all that kind of great stuff, a fabulous life together. And so about the past year, as we say, it's a weird saying, but she's gone downhill, right? And Wanda was having a hard time, and her body's just worn out. And so that went on, and that went on, but not for a really long time, less than a year. And so on Friday, I went to their house because Bobby called me crying. And he said, I think we might be getting close. I think it might be time. I got there, we talked, and we prayed, and Wanda was out of it. And when I got there and prayed, she kind of perked up. And we talked, and she got a little better. And after I prayed, she leaned over, and she has a really raspy voice right now. And she said, I said, amen, and I gave her a hug. And oh my gosh, she pulled my face towards her, and she gave me a big old kiss. And she said, God needs to do his work. I said, he will, Wanda. And she said, now. Wanda went to heaven at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning. Now, that sounds like a horribly sad story. I said Wanda has a raspy voice. I misspoke. Wanda's healed. You talk about a resurrection. I mean, Lord God, let me die on Easter. Right? I mean, what a fantastic weekend to go to heaven. She got to join the party. She got to join the remembrance. She got to join looking at all of the things going on in heaven. I don't know what that homecoming's like, but it was way better than this homecoming. Way better. And I know we miss our loved ones. I miss my loved ones. But man, if we believe in the resurrection, if we believe that the stone's been rolled away and the tomb is empty, then that should be in our sadness, in our grief, in our loss. Yes, 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 and yes. Three bags full. 68 years married. Bobby's going to have a hard time, yes, but he also knows that there is hope in the resurrection. That's where we need to land. That's who we need to believe in. That's what we need to believe in. And not just so we can go to heaven, but really so we can live life today. I don't want it to be just about today for you. And I don't want it to be just about the future and eternity for you. I want it to be about every day. I want it to be about every day. I've been singing, I won't tell you this story, but I've been singing this homecoming song since I heard it back in September after a really hard time in our own family. I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for the homecoming. I've been waiting for you just like God has. But it's not about today. So my prayer for you is that on this homecoming, we would remember. Remember all the things that God has done for you. Remember all the things. I know it's a future remembrance. It sounds weird. It's a now but not yet. That you would remember all the things that he's going to do for you and in you and through you and for your children. For all of us. For your grandchildren. But you got to talk about him. You got to invite him in. You got to be present in your doubts or in your beliefs. In your faith or in your faults. You've got to, you've got to, you've got to. Because that's when he's going to show up. And I want it for you, amen? I want it for you and I want it for me because I know it's true. I know it's true. And I have my doubts sometimes, but he always comes back around. He said, remember this? Oh, yeah. Remember this? Yep. Remember this family? Remember this marriage? Remember this tragedy that turned into triumph? Remember this and remember this? And then it starts flooding me. And then I see you and I go, oh yeah. Watching the kids do the sunrise, students do the sunrise service this morning. Oh yeah, God, you're still moving. You're still at work. The stone is rolled away. Because otherwise, we just live in the tombs that we place ourselves. Let's don't do that. He rolled the stone away so you could walk out also. So Lord God, today for us in this room, I want your presence to be powerful and mighty, not just now, but Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us to an awareness of you. I don't need to wake you up, Jesus. God, I don't need to wake you up. You're alive and well. Boy, you are living and breathing inside of us. Lord, awaken us, awaken me, Lord, to your reality. So, Lord, we would live the supernatural life of the resurrection that, Lord, you said we would live. We will live if we'll just call on you, if we'll just invite you in, if we'll just talk about you. Lord, use us, Lord, to bring others into the kingdom. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. On this Resurrection Sunday, with a joyful shout, all the people said, amen, amen. All for your glory, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go into the world, not the way you came in. Go back transformed. Go back knowing you're redeemed. Go back knowing that you are forgiven, that you are reconciled to God himself. Share that with the world. It's in his holy and precious and powerful name we pray it today. All the people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.